But nevertheless, turn in your Bibles, if you have them, or Todd will help us, the NIV version of Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And the title of my message is, I Sent You a Rowboat. Okay? I Sent You a Rowboat. Let's look at the scripture, Psalm 121, which says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel. He watches over you, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. You ever hear of being moonstruck? That's the idea. The Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. I have that circled in my Bible. He will watch over your life. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. He will watch over my life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. I like the way in which Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message, and I know many of you are using that version to read from, and it's excellent. He says, his take on Psalm 121 is this, I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No. My strength comes from God who made heaven and earth and mountains. Let's pray. And so, Lord, as we take this time now to come to your word, pray for an anointing upon us and that there would be a releasing of your presence among us that would touch our hearts and that we would have a sense about us of God speaking directly to me and feeding our souls, healing our souls, O Lord, and that encouragement and strengthening that I spoke of when we began, how our batteries, our life batteries be recharged, that would happen even in the course of speaking this message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Can you imagine you're out at sea, and one reason or another you get a little bit too close to the railing and off you go. You fall into the water. And there you are, and the ship is there, and there's some people there. And when you're in the water bobbing like a bobber, the thing that you don't do is give a detailed explanation of what just happened. The first thing that you do is you do what? Yell for help, right? Help! You know? And that's what we want to talk about this morning, even as the text is before us. There was this farmer who rushed to his neighbor's because his prize mare got stuck in the mud. So he rushes in, knocks on the door, bursts in. They were friends, of course, and the family was sitting down and having a little snack, drinking coffee, and the farmer rushes in, whose mare was stuck in the mud, and says, please help me. He says, my horse, you know, my prize mare is stuck in the mud. And the neighbor said, well, he said, what's going on? I said, well, he's up to his ankles. He says, well, no problems. We got time. Sit down, have a cup of coffee. We'll get to him. He says, no, you don't understand. He's in head first. And you ever feel like that? You know, you're in up to your ankles head first. You ever feel like that? And it's like you're stuck in the mud, you know. And what do you do? What do you do when you feel that way? I think it's a valid go-to prayer. Help. Just the word help, Lord. Help me, Lord. Now, certainly, you know, there has to come along with it at times a rounding out to express ourselves to the Lord in a little bit more detail of what's going on, how it is that he can help, and so on when we pray. Absolutely. But sometimes words fail us, don't they? Especially when we're in situations stuck in the mud, you know, head first. It's like, what do you say? How can you say anything? You ever feel that overwhelmed? How is it that I pray about this? How is it that I approach the Lord now What do I say? Words fail me, expressions fail me, but there's one word certainly that you can get out: help. Help. And I want to say that it is a valid way to pray, when words fail us especially. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, Paul tells us there that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a helper to help us pray. And he goes so far as to say in that verse of Scripture, he says, we don't know what to pray for as we ought to pray. You ever feel that way as well? You know, how do I even, and let alone words escaping me, how is it that I even vocalize this? How do I put explanation to this, to the Lord, to pray? And the Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And Jesus calls him, in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, one of the translations of the word there for Holy Spirit is helper. Did you know that? He has been given to us as a helper. God inside of us, our helper. And one of the things that he helps us to do is pray. But he says there in that Scripture verse that sometimes the only thing that we can do is in our praying is to groan the prayers, you know, wordless prayers. And help comes out that way sometimes. Help, God. You know, and there's that pathos in our voice. And the thing that I want to say is this, that the thing that fills help, when we pray help with content, is the heart in which it's being prayed. When our heart is in it. This is what makes all prayer worth their weight before God, is when we pray with our heart in it. And when you pray, help, Lord, with heart in it, just help. Help me, Lord. There have been times in the last, couple of weeks where I've just been on my face and gone before the Lord, and all I could say, Lord, help. And with tears behind it, Lord, help in these situations. And there's nothing traumatic going on in our lives. You know, we're not up against it. There's a bunch of internal things going on in my life where I feel like that horse not only stuck in the mud, but I feel like a mess. In so many ways. I really do. Compounded by this crazy sickness that I've been laboring under. But here's the thing, and I want you to hear this. When you can put your heart into your cry for help, it touches the heart of God. Even as he says here, he says, the Lord watches over you. He says, where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. Listen, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over you. The Lord will watch over you. Lord, help in this situation. Help. Sandra had an old Bible that she used to use. It was a New American Standard Bible. And I forget the publisher, but in the margin there were some notes. And in Psalm 46:11, the marginal note, the way in which it translated Psalm 46:1 was like this. Listen, it says, David says, God is abundantly available for help in tight places. Isn't that good? God is abundantly available for help in tight places. You ever feel like you've gotten into a tight place? You know? And like, what do? God's available. Listen, God wants and he needs. I want to rephrase that, not needs. He wants and he waits to be needed to help us. Yeah, he does. He does. God helps us in proportion to the demand that we put on our need, our felt need for his help. He helps us in direct proportion. What do I feel about God helping me right now? How do I approach him? Is my heart in it? And God responds in proportion to our cry for him and help. And here's the thing that I've discovered. I have discovered that nothing is too small for me to bring to him to ask him for his help in. Nothing. Nothing is too small. You say, I got it. I'm going to bother God with this? Yes, I'm going to. And you'd be amazed the help that comes from him. And so now often it seems like, it seems like his help is not only slow in coming, but that he is indifferent to our cry for help. You ever been there? Where your heart's in it and you really need the help and you look to the Lord for his help. And it seems as though God's nowhere to be found. And I'd like to draw your attention to one of those occasions that the disciples found themselves in Matthew chapter 8. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is out in the boat with the disciples, and they're traveling. And it says there in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23, it says, "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. And without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake." And it says, I like what Luke says in his version of the story. He says, they were in great danger. They were in great danger. The boat was being swamped, and they were fully expected in the storm to go under, Now, have you ever been there? Have you ever felt as though, you know, you're with Jesus and off you go, you know, you're on your journey in your Christian life, and then stuff happens? Doesn't it seem like stuff always has a way of happening? You know, it's like, you know, give me a break. How about a three-day breather, you know? And stuff always happens, and here they are with Jesus, and their lives are in danger. And then it says this little, you know, as the waves are sweeping over, then Matthew adds this little statement. He says, "But Jesus was sleeping." You ever feel that way? You know? I mean, you're in the thick of it, you know? You're in up to your ankles. And feeling the mess. And what's in front of you, and you cry for help. And it seems as though God is sleeping, you know, nowhere to be found. Exactly the opposite of what Psalm 121 says about him. And we have to see that in those times, when we feel in that way, the disciples, what did they do? And I think that we need to take a lesson from them when it seems as though God is, nowhere to be found. And in fact, when he's nowhere to be found, it almost seems as though he's indifferent to what I'm going through. And the thing that I've learned about God is that one of his attributes is not indifference. He is not indifferent. He's very much in the know. And when you look at this text a little bit closely, we see that We have to underline something here, and that is, he may have been sleeping, but he was on the same boat with them that was being swamped. Come on. He may have been sleeping, but he was there with them. He was there with them. But we need to take a lesson from these disciples. And in those times, our cry for help must increase. Instead of being put off, you know, by his seeming indifference, it must provoke us to be all that much more ravenous, as it were, in our approach to God for help. Lord, you got to help me. Lord, if I don't receive help from you, you know, no one can help me like you can help me in this situation. And this is what the disciples did. They went to him and they woke him up. And they said to him, "Lord, don't you care? It says, save us. No, help us, God. Don't you care that we're going to drown?" Jesus wakes up. And it's interesting, you know, it's like you would, you know, you're thinking, and there are times in our life when it comes to us, you know, where God doesn't seem to respond to us in a very nice way. You know, it's like, you know, your kid when he falls and scrapes his knees. It's like, "Oh, get up. Let's wash it off, you know." instead of, you know, coddling, oh, you poor little, you know, the boo-boo, you know, the, oh, you know. It's like sometimes God is like that with us. And that's the way Jesus is here with them. Because he wants to shock them. He wants to teach them. He's instructing them to say to them, listen, don't you have a I'm here with you. It's impossible that this boat would sink with me on board. It's impossible. You see, it's impossible. In the situations that we go through and where we're stuck in the mud and where our lives seem a mess, he's there. It's impossible for this boat to sink. He's there. And he says to them, it's your faith that's the problem. It's your faith that's the problem. He calls them what? People of little faith. Lord, help me to have more faith. More faith in this. And now, let's look at it another different way, okay? The cry for help, like the squeaky wheel, gets the oil of God's help. We have to see that about God. Sometimes, you know, it says, ask and you shall receive, right? Seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. And the idea there that we're even told in the original language is that what it's really saying is keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Be relentless in your hold on God for help. And that cry, be the squeaky wheel, you know? Be the squeaky wheel when it comes to your need for help. Now, you have to be careful, all right? And this is where I want to take a little twist and turn, all right? You got to be careful. And we have to be careful in our cry for help. Why? Why do I have to be careful? What's the caveat here? We don't always recognize God's help when it comes to us. I've blamed the devil for help that has come to me from God. Get thee behind me, Satan. And God is like, whoa, Bob, it's me. You know, really? You know, really, Jesus? And so there are circumstances, there are life situations, there are messes that we get into or are put into. That when we cry for help, and the help may come from very unlikely sources in various ways that we might not be so quick to recognize that the help is coming from the Lord. So there was a man once who was caught in rising floodwaters, and he ended up, you know, going to the top of his roof, and he was trusting God to help him. He was trusting God to rescue him. And a neighbor came by in a rowboat and said, the waters are soon going to be above your house. Why don't you get in? I'll help you and take you to safety. And the man replied, no, thanks. He says, I've prayed to God, and I'm sure he's going to help me. So a short time later, the police came by in one of their skips and one of their boats and said, hey, listen, the water's soon going to be above your house. You're going to be in grave danger. So why don't you hop in, and we'll bring you to safety. Once again, the guy said, no thanks. He says, I prayed to God, and he's going to help me. A little time later, rescue services sent the helicopter. And hovering over the guy, they let down a rope ladder, and they said, listen, the waters are soon going to be above your house. Why don't you climb on up, and we'll fly you to safety. We're here to help you out. Guy replied once again, no thanks. Said, I believe in God. I've prayed. I've asked for his help. He is going to help me. All this time, the floodwaters kept rising, and soon they were above the guy's roof, and sure enough, he drowned. And being a believer, when he arrived at heaven's, when he arrived in heaven, he immediately requested an audience with God. I got some questions for you, God. You know? So, certainly. Brought him to the Lord, brought him to the throne room, and he said, Lord, he says, why am I here in heaven anyways? He says, I prayed for you to help me. I trusted you to help me, to save me from that flood. What happened? The Lord replied, yes, you did, my child. He said, and I sent you a canoe, a boat, and a helicopter, but you never got in. And so, you know, there are those situations, right? We cry for help. And God sends help, but we're reluctant. We're reluctant for one reason. You know, it wasn't the way I envisioned God sending me the help. And so our imaginations are filled with, this is the way it's going to work out. Have you ever thought that about God? You know, I prayed, and instead of, like what Jesus said, if a son asks his father for an egg, is he going to give him a serpent? And the answer is what? No. But sometimes the egg seems like a serpent. Sometimes it does, you know. And it reminds me of the story of the man, Naaman the Syrian. And I close with this. In the Old Testament, under the ministry of Elisha in 2 Kings. And Naaman became aware that Elisha was a man of God and extraordinary powers were working through his life and to heal people. Naaman had leprosy. Naaman was somewhat of a government official and well recognized by people, and he was quite distraught, to say the least. Leprosy was a very serious disease. And one of his household maids said to him, Naaman, listen, there are words out on the street that there's this prophet in Israel, name is Elisha, that can help you, can heal you. And Elisha said, or Naaman said, well, okay. He said, I'll see if he'll help me. So Naaman went to him and prayed to him, that asked him that he would heal him. And Elisha said to him, he said, listen, he said, wonderful. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and you will be healed. And the man looked at Elisha, because this man had in his thinking, was prepared for help to come to him way different from going and dipping himself in a river. And besides which, the Jordan River wasn't looked upon as, you know, this kind of river that is pristine, you know, its waters are wholesome. It was kind of looked upon with disdain. And he went away. He left. And his attendants, you know, tried to reason with him. And he said to them, he said, listen, he said, I asked this guy for help. He tells me to go dip myself 7 times in a river. He said, I thought he, being a man of God, would do what? Wave his hand, presto, change-o, the leprosy's gone in an instant. And he says, besides which, he said, aren't there rivers enough in Syria whose waters are so pristine and clear that would do me much better to, and he was walking away without having received his help, simply because he was unwilling to receive it the way in which God was going to give it to him. Now, that's not the end of the story, thank God. Because his attendants twisted his arm and said, listen, it's a small matter, is it not? Go and dip yourself in the river and you'll be healed from this extraordinary disease. And so he relented and he went. And sure enough, the 7th dip, he came up fully restored. Fully restored. And so once again, I highlight to you what I said, that we have to be careful, because a lot of times we don't recognize the help when God sends it. I can't tell you how many times when God sent me help through my wife. And I could only wish I would have recognized at those moments before I made a decision, before I did something, before I bought something, before I said something to someone where she said, I wouldn't say that, and I did. And the trouble I have gotten myself into, I cannot count. I'm serious. Because I didn't recognize the help coming from my wife.
Live and learn.
Live and learn. You know? And how much of the time does it work that way, even with us, you know? It's like, well, you know, if so-and-so would have said it, and they would have been a lot nicer when they said it. Hey, is there genuine help coming from God to you from then? For heaven's sake, receive it. For heaven's sake, receive it. And so I sent you a rowboat. You know, the idea being, as he says here, hey, you know, I came by in a rowboat. I came by in a helicopter. I came by. And God help us to recognize his help when he sends it. And you have to be careful because sometimes, let me finish by saying this. Who is known in the scripture as a thief, as a lion, and as a serpent? Who would you say? Who would you say? Well, the devil. He's a thief. He come, right? The thief comes to kill. He was a serpent, transformed himself into a serpent in the Garden of Eden. And he's a thief. He's a lion, right? Peter depicts him as what? A roaring lion coming to devour us. Well, did you know that the same epithets are given to Jesus? He is a thief who's coming in the night. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is the serpent that's been lifted up on the pole for our healing. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Doesn't that just complicate things? You know? It just complicates things. But it's all to say that we have to be aware of this caveat to recognize the help that God sends us when it comes in the most unlikely sometimes of packages. Let's stand together in his presence. So I trust this message will help you today. I trust that it will help you. Be helped. You know, I look at this as meat and potatoes type of speaking, preaching, right? To help you, to help us. I have a file in my filing cabinet. And in it are notes that I have written. In it is a paper my wife has written that depicts our cry for help in situations that we're even facing right now. And it's in my file drawer. And the title of the file drawer is simply, Lord, please help. So let's pray. Lord, here we are in your presence, and you see our lives, and you know what we're going through and what we're dealing with and what we have, little, in between, and big. And to them all, Lord, we would say, I would say with all of my heart, help, help, Lord, in these situations of our lives. Amen. God bless you.